dubbed combat readiness patrols, meant as a warning to the self-governing island which China claims as its own. All this seemed to be triggered by Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen's visit with Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy at the Ronald Reagan Library last week in California.
Fox's Greg Palcott. Professors and thousands of workers at Rutgers University in New Jersey are on strike today, putting classes and research on hold. America's listening to Fox News.
When you get nachos, tacos, empanadas, spicy queso with jalapenos, Pepto-Bismol's there. Pepto-Bismol provides fast, effective relief from nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, and diarrhea. All the things that can happen unexpectedly on vacation. So before you travel, pack the Pepto. Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
It's 10:03. Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 61 degrees, mostly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Reactions are mixed in Beulah. The county's officially announced D.R. Horton as the developer for the OLF 8 project.
Anything that allows us as community members to have access to things that make our lives better is good.
That's one resident that talked with Channel 3, and others say they're just not sure about more housing in that area. So far, there's no word on D.R. Horton's plans for the OLF 8 property, although Commissioner Jeff Bergosh says there's room for a town center, retail, restaurants, and medical facilities. Right now, no word on whether D.R. Horton intends to utilize any of the county's original master plan. Commissioners will be meeting with D.R. Horton to go over plans for that property soon, and a town hall meeting also being set up for residents to give feedback directly to the developer. Well, rainy weather forced a bit of a change in plans on Saturday for the Marine Corps League's Easter egg hunt. The group had originally planned to have their egg hunt at Admiral Nelson Park, but because of the rain, they gave out their eggs and prizes to families as they drove up in their cars instead. The Marine Corps League says more than 100 families drove through. It was the group's first ever attempt at having an egg hunt. The event was also used to provide resources for area veterans. It's 10:04 at News Radio 92.3.
Small chance of rain throughout the day today. 10% chance overall with a high near 64. Temperatures overnight dropping near 56. We're going to be warming up for your Tuesday with a high near 74. Still a 10% chance of rain around. Temperatures overnight Tuesday dropping near 61. 75 for your high on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain with Wednesday night temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Well, it looks like some of those clouds have moved on. We've got some nice blue skies outside right now. It's 64, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, and 61 in Milton. Our next news at 10:30 in breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Autism Pensacola.
I got a million things to do. I got so much I want to prove.
Welcome back. You're listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm your host, Tammy Martin, with the Pensacola Expert Panel. Thank you so much for joining me today. We are here with Autism Pensacola, with some amazing people. Mary McLellan, correct? Yes, Autism Pensacola Executive Director Greg Harris with the Pensacola Ice Fires. He's the owner. And Jimmy, say your last name, Jimmy.
Donahoe,
just making sure. Autism Educator, Autism Pensacola Board Member. So this is awesome that it is Autism Acceptance Month, and they are here with us today. We have a lot to talk about, so if you want to join in the conversation, you are more than welcome to 437-1620. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Tammy?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
And we are going to talk about a few things this morning. Where would you like to start? The gala?
Well, community partners would be a great place to start, and mostly because it is Autism Acceptance Month, mm-hmm. so we are recognizing autism as a condition in the community and trying to promote awareness and acceptance and inclusion. So part of that is our community, are our community partners. The Pensacola Ice Flyers have been an amazing partner for us over the last 3 years. I believe the number is around $64,000 they have contributed to our programs and services, and we're so grateful. They're always willing to step in and help us out. So I'm going to pass this over to Greg.
Yeah, no, it's been great. It was an organization I learned about, three, 4 years ago. And it started off with an autism awareness night at one of our games, and we did jerseys and everything and raffles.
Wow.
And raised some money. And then after that, it became into, to help them out. And Mary's taking the reins here and mm-hmm. Really progressing the organization forward in amazing ways. And so, they reached out to us and to me and about SEPs for Autism back in, was it September?
Yeah,
September, and mm-hmm. we jumped on board for that, and then, they're bringing back the gala for the first time in three years
since 2019.
Yeah,
okay.
So
four.
This
is
then,
exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, they it's kind of funny because I always I want to jump. It's like yes, absolutely, I'm in. Yeah. But it's like,
I know
because it came in. We're just wrapping up our season here. And I was like, no, I love this organization and everything they're about. So. Absolutely count me in, but it's been great. It's been an amazing partnership,
right.
And we're really blessed to be a part of it.
And there's so many children and families in need in our community. I know in my last career I was a dental hygienist, and we treated many children with autism, and I have a personal my nephew has autism, and so the community has helped him so much with therapies, and they have so many fun things as well. They have things for the them to go to play games, sensory things. They've been to many fun events, and I just love how our community wraps their arms around them.
Yes, absolutely. It's interesting that you brought that up as the number of children, because in 1970 it was 1 in 10,000, and now it is 1 in 36.
Really?
So those are Jimmy births, right? Are there births? 1 in 36 births are, yeah.
One in 36 8-year-olds receiving services in our school system.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow.
And that doesn't include homeschool kids, which some of the reason that kids are homeschooled is because they just don't fit into mainstream,
right.
Education programs and public schools and so forth.
Yeah, right. It also doesn't include those who are diagnosed later, like my son was diagnosed until his teen. So it doesn't include a lot of those people there.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically our... you mentioned the sensory things, and in the summer we do our sensory street, which is an amazing 3-day community event, and the kids general community can come in and into the Museum of Commerce, and we have interactive booths set up around the museum.
Mm-hmm.
They come and they each do an activity that relates to autism in some way. And that's been really popular. The numbers went way up from the first year to the second year.
Oh, wow.
And this will be our third year.
Mm-hmm.
So, but for Autism Acceptance Month, first of all, congratulations on the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
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 Awesome.
We squeaked in.
You squeaked in.
Hey, we're in and we're in the hunt.
You're
that's
there.
All,
that's
all
that
matters.
It doesn't matter how you got there, but you got there.
No, absolutely not. But no, we're ready to go. And Thursday night's our home game. And
And we'll be there.
Yeah, yep, absolutely, yep, yep.
So. We're going to have a booth there and know some stuff for kids and things like that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Have they told you that you guys are also the 50-50 charity partner that night?
No, they did not. Well,
hey, you guys are the 50-50 charity partner.
Thank you. Well, this was a great platform to find out about that. The whole world hears.
Sorry. Come out to the game and support Autism Pensacola.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. Thanks, Greg. Thank that's awesome. Yeah, Brendan left that out. I'll have to let him know.
Well, I'll get him in trouble.
But yeah, we do have our gala coming up, and we chose April because it is Autism Acceptance Month, and we're trying to bring it back, you know, with when it's been gone for 4 years, people forget about it. And so I think a lot of the nonprofits, as you know, they're all bringing back their galas and things like that, and we definitely need the revenue from that. It helped us with our programs and services tremendously, and we have really missed the income that comes with that gala. So for Autism Acceptance Month, we have a really busy month. Last weekend, we were at Amazing Kids Day at WSRE, and that was really a fun day, strictly for kids with autism, and we're going to do that again and partner with them again. We've got a program coming up on Thursday, Connecting the Community, with Ramika Leary on WSRE. Mm-hmm. We have Legal Graffiti from Zarzur Law, and that's on gallery night downtown. Okay. We have a mayoral proclamation coming. And, of course, the Ice Flyer Playoffs, the Civitan Picnic. We have all kinds of stuff. A really cool thing, though, that's coming up is that Temple Grandin is coming to town on April 20th. And, Jimmy, why don't you tell them about Temple Grandin?
Okay, Temple is pretty famous in the autism community nationwide. She is a young lady that went to school in 1960 at the University of Maryland, and through several things, she ended up getting her degree eventually. But one of the things she has done is learn how to take cattle, and it's a mathematical formula, to slaughter so they're calmer and so the meat's better. And so, so she changed the industry, the cattle industry, when she did that years ago. So she's pretty famous, and she's coming here to speak. Unfortunately, I'll be out of town doing my training, but she's a very good speaker. And you can see a lot of the autistic characteristics in her if you go and see her. So I encourage people to go out and see what
she does. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
And what was her name again?
Temple Grandin.
Temple Grandin.
There's a really good movie out with her, and it's very family-friendly if you'd like to watch it. And it tells her story.
Okay.
It's really a good movie to watch with kids.
That's really neat. That's amazing. You are listening to News Radio 92.3. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Autism Pensacola, Mary and Greg. And Jimmy, thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're talking about the gala. If you'd like to join in, you're welcome to 437-1620. If you have any questions you would like to ask them, we have community partners. We have Greg Harris, who is the Pensacola Ice Flyers owner. Thank you so much for coming in and partnering with Autism Pensacola and helping them. That's amazing, especially in our community with so many children in need. So.
Absolutely. One of the things about the gala, what was I going to say about the gala? We do have tickets available still, and they're online at our website, and you can just click on the top banner or just go to the gala page. And I believe there are tickets for Temple Grandin as well. So there's that as well. So I think what I want to do now is toss it over to Jimmy and talk about some of the things that he does in the community as far as, actually, nationwide, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So I train first responders and teachers, nursing, OR staff, those things. I mean, I'm sorry, ER staffs, on how to deal with people with autism. So I'll be in New York next week for a week, and then Denver a couple of weeks after that, but I travel around the nation doing that. But some of the services that Pensacola, I wanted to say that some Autism Pensacola provides is we are not a service provider, but we can definitely send them out to where they need to go. Some of the things we do, from my perspective, of course, we do training. I train in the Law Enforcement Academy, the local Lakeview CIT program, and different places like that. But some of the things we want the public to know about is half of our individuals with autism will wander at some time. They'll elope and get out, which can be a major problem because about 50% of them can't speak. and can't tell you who they are. So we have a couple of programs like that to help the law enforcement in particular to identify them, called the Take Me Home program. And if they're interested in something like that, they can contact the Pensacola Police Department and they can enter them into the program. It's shared with the Escambia County Sheriff's Department. So, and basically what it does, if they come across somebody that can't speak, they can just put their physical demographic description in this program, and it'll come up with their names, and they ask for photos, and then they click on the person they have, and it tells them who they are and where they belong.
Wow.
So we're not getting DCF involved. We're not doing anything like that. We're getting them straight back home.
Fabulous.
And obviously with people on the spectrum, if they're out of their element for too long, not on their schedule, they could have meltdowns, and that's what we're trying to avoid, is for the officer not having to deal with that. The family, again, knowing where they're at is a comfort in itself. So it's a peace of mind for their families. And then for the person on the spectrum, too, it just keeps them calmer in the long run to be back in their element. And then another major program that we have there is called Project Lifesaver. And we put bracelets on them.
Yes.
And so that they can be located in case they're... Project Lifesaver is a nationwide organization, and they've had over 3,600 finds alive.
That's amazing.
But what's amazing about that is it's 100%. And there's reasons for it. Our children, for whatever reason, are attracted to water.
Right.
Of those 50% that will elope, 42 of those will end up some type of tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
Of those, 91% will drown.
That's sad.
And it's happening here in this area, too. We've had a couple in Gulf Breeze last year, and it's just really tragic for that to happen. So we encourage anybody that might hear about somebody that's missing, you know, check your pool, check your area, and those type of things so that hopefully we can cover them. Again, the Project Lifesaver, if they have that bracelet on, we can track them pretty quick. And nationwide, they've had one up in New Jersey that did drown in a pond, but they were able to, they were there quick enough to get them out and CPR and rescue this child. So over 3,600 finds by Project Lifesaver. And Autism Pensacola, if there's a need for that, we'll provide that for them in a monthly service where they check the batteries and check the bracelet to make sure it's working properly. And then the local law enforcement communities have the equipment already in their staging areas and also at their departments where they can get out pretty quick. It's also used for Alzheimer's, so it's a dual thing. Although we don't provide it for Alzheimer's, I'm sure that Covenant Care will do that for them. But anyhow, just another service that Autism Pensacola provides for them. So I encourage people, I know we've talked about this before too, there's a certain stigma with autism where people don't want to admit their child has autism. I really encourage people to, if they even suspect it, to let their doctor know that they suspect it and let them make the determination, because early intervention is so crucial to helping these individuals with autism. So I just encourage anybody that might have the suspect that of their child, that they might be on the spectrum, take them to the doctor.
Definitely.
And then get them in front of the other people if they need to determine early intervention is crucial for autism.
And as a healthcare provider, I treated children with autism many times, and we can see signs that maybe you're so used to seeing with your child that you feel like it's maybe not a big deal, but when they come see us, we're like, okay, maybe there's an issue. And like you said, we always tell them, just to say there's so many resources. And if you get those resources while they're young, and now it's going to help them so much more. So I know it's difficult as a parent to think that way, but if you could, you know, just make sure, get them tested, things like that in our community, and just help them.
Yeah. So with the numbers being at 136, I'll add to that that, again, it's eight-year-olds receiving services. There are several. I've had a DEA agent in Spokane, Washington, 54, she was diagnosed.
Really?
A firefighter in Boston, 66, he was diagnosed. So there's a lot of people that are diagnosed later that aren't on that. So I really think the number for me is probably closer to 1 in 32, 1 in 31.
Wow.
That's just my opinion, but I think it's much lower than the 1 in 36. And when you have that in a society, which that's in our society, it's more accepted because more people understand it. Because not only do you have parents that are there, but then the grandparents and the uncles and the aunts, and everybody wants to have them included in everything they're doing.
Right.
And so it's more accepted. So don't let that be a stigma. Don't let that, he has autism, be a problem. And we say, and I'm going to steal some of Mary's thunder here, because four out of five are males. Sometimes the females are more severely impacted by it a lot of times, but there's more males out there than there are females. So
right. And going back to, and I keep calling it hide and seek because my nephew's is called hide and seek. They call it his hide and seek because he elopes. And there's been a couple of times where they needed to call the police and they find them right away.
Great.
It's amazing.
Does he have the Project Lifesaver?
Yes, Project Lifesaver. Yes, but he calls it a hide and seek. We call it a hide and seek. So
that is so awesome.
Because he's little, and that's what we call it. So that's why it's hard for me to think of the other word. Like his little hide and seek, and it saved him like a few times. I mean, he will run. He will just start running, and you can't catch him. And they have found him rather quickly.
Well, I'll add to that too, that you know, don't be hesitant to call law enforcement. We've trained a lot of law enforcement. I trained in the police academy. I trained in the CIT program at Lakeview, all of the sheriff's department 1 year, all the police department one other year, we're training. And so don't be hesitant that they're not going to know what to do with that individual once they find them. A lot of parents might be hesitant because, number one, they feel like they may be arrested for child neglect or something, which isn't the case, or that they're not going to handle their child properly when they find them. So I would encourage you, there's other numbers I don't want to give out here, but it's really crucial that if the child goes missing, no matter who they are, do a cursory search real quick and then immediately get into calling the police and let them help
and
you.
Catch them. Absolutely.
And that's actually one of the things that we do. Well, our mission is to serve as a resource center for individuals, children, and families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We have a 5-county area from Baldwin to Okaloosa, Walton, Santa Rosa, and Escambia. And basically, you know, you see these behaviors in your child and you're wondering, should I have them tested? Mm-hmm. What's the first step? And so we kind of take their hand and we guide them through all the way through transitioning into adulthood, which is a huge, huge thing. And that's why we say when they call or walk in the door, we tell them you are not alone.
Yes.
And because they won't be ever again. And they can come to a one-stop shop where all the resources are available to them and they won't have to, you know, make it a full-time job trying to find these resources. So I was just wondering, Greg, have you ever had an incident of someone who could have possibly maybe had autism and had maybe an episode, a sensory overload episode?
At the games?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a couple different, there's a lot going on at our games.
Yep. I know. I was just curious.
Yeah, no, we've definitely had, I've received a couple of reports on that. So they were just, had to find a quiet spot and something that wasn't
too much coming in at one time.
It's a lot what we're about. So it's awesome that we're, this is what we're about. We're about like everything, like sensory overload and like excitement and everything, but also too, like, that's why we want to be such a great partner to you guys too, because there's so many people. Like, I know when I first started getting involved, it was like, what, 1 in 59 or 60 something?
One in 59 the year that I started.
Yeah. So before that, now it's, what do you say, 1 in 36?
Yeah.
Like, that's remarkable. Like, that blows my mind. When you said that, I'm like, wait, what? I remember a 50 something number, a high 50 number, and now we're into the 30s. And it's just, so whatever we can do to be able to draw that, draw more attention. Because it's so vital, especially like, you know, for people moving here, right? Like, I know that's what we've often talked about, is like someone that's new to this community or just the Gulf Coast area. It's like, what do we do, right? They're not, you know, they're not lost. They have Autism Pensacola, and it's all the amazing services that they provide. So I think that stigma of being afraid. Hey, if somebody had that don't be afraid to talk to your doc. Don't be afraid to reach out, but don't be afraid to reach out to Autism Pensacola too, because they can be a tremendous resource.
Yeah, and that's actually one thing that I tell parents, is that your doctor, your pediatrician sees your child, what, you know, an hour maybe at the developmental, at the more, maybe not even that long. They don't see your child all the time. And so if you're noticing things and your doctor's telling you, oh, you know, they'll grow out of it or whatever, insist on a referral to a diagnostician. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is absolutely nothing wrong with getting that testing if you see. It was like Jimmy said, early intervention is very, very important.
Right.
But I'm wondering, you know, Jimmy, you do educational stuff, behaviors of autism and how best to respond.
maybe something like that over your direction or the Bay Center. Yep. You know, you never know.
Yeah, and you know, one something I did before I retired with the police department was when we were able to put sensory kits in every car, and I was thinking that might be something beneficial for you to have had headphones, noise canceling headphones, sunglasses, or something like that, ready for your staff.
Yeah,
but yeah, anytime, anybody in the community, if you'll contact Mary or myself, I'll be glad to come do the training for anybody. We're doing one next week, or I'm sorry, in 3 weeks, right over here around the corner at Gateway Church. So
for the state there.
So
yeah. That sounds great. I love that you're reaching out to our community with open arms and, like you said, dropping the stigmatism. And you're there to help. I know I've seen parents when I was a dental hygienist, and they're just so frustrated. And I hate that they're frustrated and they don't know what's going on with their child. And you just say, hey, you know, here is this place you can go to help you. And that's really what they need is just support and help. And that's great that you offer that. Then go to autismpensacola.org. I am here with Mary McLellan from, she is the executive director of Autism Pensacola. Mr. Greg Harris, Pensacola Ice Flyers, he's the owner. And Jimmy Donahoe, autism educator. He is with the Autism Pensacola board member. So thank you so much for joining me. If you want to join in our conversation, you're welcome to at 850-437-1620. And I'm not sure who would like to answer this question, but we have a listener ask, can a stroke develop into autism?
No.
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 Yes, I wasn't sure, but I didn't think so, no. So that's something completely different.
Yeah, and just to, I'm going to put this out here. The number 136 comes from the CDC. This is not a disease. You're not going to catch it.
Right.
I won't get deep into it, but they really don't know what causes autism. That's the bottom line to this thing. But I'm sure that a stroke is not a reason to come up with autism.
And what do you feel like is why we have so many more cases? Is that because you feel like we're more aware of what's going on?
I feel like it's kind of a lot of reasons together. Like Jimmy was saying, the stigmatism is getting less because people are more. It's important, you know, that early intervention is really important, and so parents are, you know, like when they see things, they're going to want to go ahead and take care of it or get started on the right way. I think that it's better. We're better at diagnosing it now. Pediatricians are more likely to refer to diagnosticians. Do you have any other reasons, Jim?
Yeah, so, you know, programs like this that are getting the word out there, the training, you know, when it was 1 in 70, there was no training for anybody. Nobody knew 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 36, and there's a lot of different programs out there that are spreading the word about it. So more people are less likely. The stigma has gone away for some. And then there's all kind of, I think for me, we have such a, I don't want to get too much involved in it, but our society has so many preservatives in our food and things like that. I believe that there's a lot of reasons that, you know, are triggered. We know it's a neurological issue. But anyhow, bottom line is the biggest thing is the better diagnosis and the better, more programs are out there to make people aware.
And just educate yourself. And that's what y'all are here for, is to educate the community on signs, symptoms, resources to help them. And I love that you're educating the police officers with what to look for so they know what they're looking. That's excellent. I know I went through as a medical provider trainings like that to what to look for. So that's great you're doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. You can get more information at autismpensacola.org. We have more to unpack here on Pep Talk. If you'd like to chime in, 437-1620. Stay tuned for a Fox News update, followed by a local news update in our newsroom at News Radio 92.3.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Paul Steele.